As we come together on this wonderful Lord's Day, the sun is shining bright. I don't know who that was, but I had my nap. It is always good to be able to come together with the saints to worship God in spirit and in truth. Stories from the Bible that talks of God's grace and how delighted he was in those that obeyed him. In the book of Genesis, we find an account of Noah. It's where we're going to spend some time going back and forth some to the New Testament, but we're going to start out in Genesis chapter 6. Many of our young people have had and heard the story of Noah and how Noah built the ark. But doing all that God told him to do, and exactly how he told him to do it. But what is the reasoning behind it all? Why did Noah find grace in the eyes of the Lord? And I believe that we can all learn a lesson from Genesis chapter 6 and looking at the life of Noah. For I believe, as we were talking on last Sunday about why we lose our young people, when we look at the life of Noah, we will find that Noah wasn't one of the ones that wanted to run around with the in crowd. I don't think Noah had a very good rapport with him. I don't believe that they thought, as they looked at Noah, that Noah was one that they could go to when they wanted to get in some mischief things. Why do I say that? I say that because of what we read here in Genesis chapter 6. We're going to start again with verse 5, as Bryce did earlier. And God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. They woke up thinking about doing some wrong. They went to bed thinking about doing some wrong. And all through the day, they did wrong. And this is a little bit different from pray without ceasing. These men were wicked. They were wicked to the point of God saying, I'm going to destroy man. There in verse 7. Whom I created from the face of the earth. I'm going to destroy him. I'm going to wipe him away. Not just man. Because in order to destroy man, he had to cause something to happen. He said, both man and beast and creeping thing and the fowls of the air, for it repented me that I have made them. I'm going to destroy them. But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. I'm going to destroy man, but I'm going to save Noah and his family. And since he told Noah that he was going to save him, let's find out why. In verse 9 it said, these are the generations of Noah. Noah was a just man and perfect in his generations. And Noah walked with God. Amen. Now, as Brother Brian was praying about our new converts, they have to understand that they need to walk with God. Amen. That means that when their friends want to do something wrong, they say, no, that's not right. I can't do those things. And push away from them. Tell them that, you're going to either do what's right or you're going to have to find your new friend, because I can't be your friend anymore because you are friends with the world. That's the type of attitude that Noah had. Noah was just. In other words, Noah was righteous. Noah was a man that was perfect in his generation. You know, some people say, well, you just don't understand. You know, when you was a little child, you didn't have to go through these things. We had to go through some of the same things that children are going through today. You don't understand, Daddy. You don't understand, Mama. Come on, Paul. You don't understand. Yes, we do understand. Been there, done that. Don't want to go back. We want to be just in the eyes of God. You know, when we start talking about a man being just in the eyes of God, you know, a lot of times we go back and we think about Job. How he feared God. And how God said, "Have you considered my servant Job unto the old devil?" Well, here he didn't have to say that about Noah, because Noah did not participate in the evil things that these others did, and the devil already probably knew that he couldn't get next to him because he was righteous in God's eyes. He was just. And God gave him a task to do because of him being just. Go and look in Genesis chapter 5, verse 24, and we ask the question, well, why did he walk with God? Somebody had to teach him. You know, a man just don't get up in the morning or you know, get to the age of accountability and say, you know, I just want to walk with God. Somebody have to take time to teach him. Have to take time to show them that this is what God desires of you. In Genesis chapter 5, verse 24, it says, "And Enoch walked with God, and he was not, for God took him." He was a man that understood what God wanted him to do. He was a man that understood what integrity was all about. And Noah wanted to imitate his grandfather. And he did exactly that. God didn't take him, but God shouldn't have saved him. Noah, you and your family are going to be saved. I want you to build an ark because I found favor with you. And what did Noah do? You know, we go and we look at the account here, and the Bible tells us as we read these things that Noah did exactly what God told him to do. Amen. He didn't say, well, you know, I think that instead of just building this one window here, I'm going to build 50,000 windows. He didn't do that. Well, Lord, you know, that needs to be a back door to this thing. You got a front, you know, you're letting down the ramp, but I think we need to build a back door to it. God didn't tell him to do that. Amen. He did what God told him to do. In Genesis chapter 6, verse 22. Genesis chapter 6, verse 22. See, the problem we have today with many people, not just new converts, but people in general, they want to do what they want to do and how they want to do it. But in Genesis chapter 6, verse 22, "Thus did Noah according to all that God commanded him, so did he." You know, if something is worth saying, a lot of times you say it's worth saying again and worth repeating. So we look in Genesis chapter 7, verse 5. And it says, "And Noah did according unto all that God commanded him." That's not good enough for you? Let's go to Hebrews chapter 11, verse 7. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 7. "Because of the obedience of Noah," that Noah was found to be in what we call the faith chapter. The hall of faith. The honor roll. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 7. "But Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet." Noah is going to reign. I'm going to destroy all of mankind. I want you to build an ark. Noah didn't sit there and debate with God and say, "God, what do you mean it's going to rain? What do you mean you're going to send a great flood and you're going to destroy all of mankind and you're going to destroy the beast of the field and the cattle and every creeping thing and the fowls of the air? What do you mean?" Noah didn't say that. He said he moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world and became an heir of the righteousness which is by faith. Amen. You know what we need to do sometime, young people? When we go to school, I was talking to a young lady when we went to Texas this last time, and she said, "You know, I don't have very many friends." I say, "That may be a good thing." She said, "You know, people, sometimes I feel them, you know, I feel that they're talking about me. That may be a good thing too." "What are they saying about you?" "Oh, maybe she thinks she's better than we are. Maybe..." Well, who does she think she is, or who did he think he is? You know, people are going to talk about you regardless of what you do. So if they're going to talk, make sure that you give them something to talk about. Make sure you give them the thing to say, well, you know, they don't want to participate in the things that we're doing because they say that these things are not right. You have every right to not to participate in those things. Don't let anybody force you to participate in them. Be righteous like Noah. In the end, be found faithful in the eyes of God. And while you're living, be found to be faithful in the eyes of God and have favor in His sight, that you may be pleasing unto Him. A lot of times we get caught up with the wrong crowd. When we get caught up with the wrong crowd, bad things happen to us. But look what happened to Noah. Noah didn't get caught up with the wrong crowd. Noah stayed to himself. Noah tended to his family. You know, there are times where, as a preacher, I like to preach lessons on a faithful father or a father that's a good role model for the family. Here's a man right here, Noah. Great example. One that served God. One that found favor in the eyes of God. You know, we need more fathers like Noah. Amen. Not just to say, you know, well, I'm righteous, but one that's righteous enough to lead your family to safety. One enough to have your family there by your side when you're doing a task for the Lord. And they said, what can I do to help? Now, we don't read that, do we? But we still should get an understanding that it's there because who was saved? Noah and his family. His family did not turn their back on him. His family were able to enter into that ark just as Noah did. Why? As we learn from Noah, why do we need to find grace in the eyes of the Lord? It's not because God is going to send a great flood to this earth. You know, a man called onto the radio station, and Brother Shelton sat here and made that announcement that called into the radio station and asked questions. I hope you think about your question before you call and ask it. It's not to say that there's any dumb questions out there, but one man called and mentioned about the earth being destroyed two times. And you know, you should see not only the man's face across the window from me, but you should see my face sometime with a question like that. The Bible says that God destroyed the earth with water one time. But He said it won't be water the next time, it's going to be fire. That fire hasn't happened yet. But that fire is going to come. And when it comes, we need to be prepared for it. And we need to make sure that our life is in order because God is going to cause us to be judged according to everything that we have done. Look at 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 3 through 13. So we don't have to worry about the worldwide flood anymore. That has happened. It's past tense. But what we have to worry about is what's going to come in the future. 2 Peter chapter 3, verses 13, or 3 through 13. 2 Peter chapter 3, 3 through 13. Knowing this first, that there shall come in the last day scoffers walking after their own lust. You know what this was all about? Same thing you go back and look at in the beginning. Those men were walking after their own lust, doing what they wanted to do. And saying, where is the promise of His coming? You know, can you imagine them saying, back in the days of Noah, where is this flood, Noah, that you've been preaching about? Why are you building this big old thing? You know, it's in my way. I can't party in this area anymore because you have built this contraption here. God told him to build it right there, and he built it right there. Amen. Look what the Scriptures say. For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of the creation. For this they willingly are ignorant of, that by the word of God the heavens were of old, and the earth standing out of the water and in the water, whereby the world that then was, being overflowed with water, perished. He did away with it. See, what? When we look at what happened in those days, we need to think about what's going to happen in the day. Whereby the world that then was, being overflowed with water, perished, but the heavens and the earth, which are now, by the same word, are kept in store, reserved until fire against the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. Now we know that fire is hot. We know that water sometimes washes away things. But we need to understand that this fire that God is going to destroy this earth with, that it is not what we call the end, because when we look at it and we stand back and we're standing before the judgment and we're not as Noah was, we're going to be cast into an everlasting fire. a fire that's going to destroy us throughout all eternity. It says, but beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day is with the Lord is 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is one day. The Lord is not slack concerning His promises. Some men count slackness, but look what it says, but is long-suffering to us work, but willing that what? Any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. You know, as we look at the story of Noah, and then we go back and we look at what's happening here in 2 Peter, this just wipes away of those individuals that saying that man does not have a choice in his salvation. Man has a choice in his salvation. Man has a right to choose whether or not he want to be destroyed, or had a choice in which not he want to be destroyed by water then, and has a choice whether or not he want to be destroyed in the future. He has a choice. And the choice is this. You either do what God says or you perish. That's the choice. It's only two choices. You're going to either live in eternity in heaven or eternal hell. Which do you want to live in? It says, but the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, into which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat, and earth also, and the works that are therein shall be burned up. Nothing will be left. You know, I think I'm going to be able to escape this fire. It's not going to be a movie. This is going to be real. So you have to get yourself ready. Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought ye to be in all holy conversation and godliness? When you go to school in the morning, what are you going to do? How are you going to behave yourself? Are you going to go and hang out with the crowd over here that's huffing and puffing on cigarettes? Or are you going to be with the crowd over here that's sneaking in the restroom trying to take a swig of something they stole from their mother and father's liquor cabinet? Or are you going to be the one that's in somebody's car and the windows all fogged up, smoking on a joint? Or are you going to be one of those? Or are you going to be one of the ones waiting on somebody to come around the corner, as we read in the book of Proverbs, in the book of Psalms, where you're waiting on somebody and you're waiting to jump on them because you want to be in the game? Which group are you going to be with? Or are you going to be with one of the groups that's over there by yourself? Now you're a group all to yourself, and you're meditating on God's Word, got your book open, or got your head bowed, and you're praying that God may allow you to have a good day because of all the things that are going on around you. Yeah, I can just see Noah back in his day when everybody's doing all their wrong dealings, and he is just set back, you know, tending to his garden, working on his house, or spending time with his family, walking around, you know, meditating on God's Word, or talking about God's Word to his family. I can just see that. Can you see yourself being that type of person? Or can you see yourself being the type of person that sits back laughing at somebody because they're wanting to serve God? Are you finding grace in the eyes of the Lord? Verse 12 says, looking for and hasten unto the coming of the day of God, wherein the heavens being on fire shall be dissolved, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. Nevertheless, we, according to His promise, look for a new heavens and a new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness. See, Noah had something to look forward to, and that was getting into that ark. We have something to look forward to, and that is getting into heaven. And we need to find grace in the eyes of the Lord. We need to find grace in the eyes of the Lord. You know, the reason that many people can't see this, and the reason that many people can't understand it, is because we get caught up sometime. You know, we get sidetracked sometime. We lose focus on what the real goal is sometimes. You know, well, I got these small goals set, and I'm just doing all I can to make this goal right here, and we lose focus. You know, in order to accomplish the small goal, you need to understand what the big goal is all about. How can we find grace in the eyes of the Lord? Romans chapter 5, verse 8. Romans chapter 5, verse 8. Oh, it's possible that we can find grace. Maybe you're here and you're not a child of God, and you're ready to become one because you want to find grace in the eyes of God. You want to find favor with Him. You know, the opportunity is yours to make sure that you come and to, you know, confess that Jesus Christ is the Son of God and have your sins washed away in the water of your baptism. But look what we find here in Romans chapter 5, verse 8. But God commended His love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. See, we can do what is right much more than being now justified by His blood, we shall be saved from wrath through Him. We'll be saved through Him. Through our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To the one that they crucified upon Mount Calvary. If you have not been saved, you can be saved. You have to put Him on. Going back to Romans chapter 3, verse 24. Romans chapter 3, verse 24. Being justified freely by His grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God has set forth to be a propitiation through faith in His blood, to declare His righteousness for the remission of sins that are past through the forbearance of God. To declare, I say, at this time His righteousness, that He might be just and the justifier of him which believeth in Jesus. See, many people died in the days of Noah because they didn't believe what Noah told them that was going to happen. Many people are going to die in their sins because they don't believe that God is going to judge them and send them to hell. They don't believe that. But I want each one of us to understand that there is a hell. I want each one of us to understand that there is a heaven. Hell was not built or prepared for you and I. It was prepared for Satan and his angels. Heaven is prepared for those that are prepared. Remember John chapter 14, verse 1. Jesus talking there. He said, "Let not your hearts be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you." He said, "I go and prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself." Amen. Do you want to be with Jesus? Do you want to be one of the ones that stand before the judgment throne and hear those words, "Enter in, my good and faithful servant"? Or do you want to be one of the ones that hear those words, "Depart from me, ye workers of iniquity"? What do you want to hear? See, we must be perfect in our generation. I don't care what you say about, "Well, Daddy, Mama, you didn't go through these things." Be perfect in your generation then. You are going through them, but guess what? You can overcome them. You can make sure that you don't fall prey to the things that individuals are trying to trap you into doing. In 1 John chapter 1. In 1 John chapter 1. See, His word is perfect. His word is complete. His word lacks nothing. But what we're lacking, we need to put it on through His word. 1 John chapter 1, verse 7. 1 John chapter 1, verse 7. "But if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from all sin." Not some of it, but all of it. Now, you know, in order to be cleansed with this blood, you must, you know, be obedient to what God wants you to do. You must understand that if you're not a Christian, you need to become a Christian. You need to be washed in that blood. You need to understand, if you are a Christian, you need to live according as the Bible has taught us to live. And if we fall short, that we can be cleansed by that blood again, but not being rebaptized, but only repenting of the things in which we have done and confess those things in which we have done. He says in verse 8, "If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us." See, there are some new converts that are going to fall short. But guess what? You're not the first one that has fallen short. When you fall short, you need to understand that you need to get up and you need to seek help from somebody else and ask them to pray for you that you may be strengthened, as did Philip or Simon the sorcerer to Peter in Acts chapter 8 when he fell short. In verse 9, it says that we confess our sins. He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. All unrighteousness. First, you've been cleansed from all your sins, and now you can be cleansed from all unrighteousness. Let's do what's right. Let's find favor in the eyes of God. Let's make sure that we're applying His word the way we need to apply His word and make sure that we're living according to the pattern in which He has given us. Why? Because of 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16. You know, a lot of people say, "Well, that's not for me." You know, a lot of people say, "Well, I can't do that." Well, I don't understand the Word of God the way you understand the Word of God. But understand this, if you understand nothing else, it is the Word of God. And do it until you understand it. You know, a lot of things we do that we don't understand, but we go ahead and do them. And we like the benefits in the end if it comes out on our part. All Scripture, the Bible says, is given by the inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. All Scripture, not some of it. So we can be perfect in our generation. It said that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly or truly furnished unto all good works. If you're not perfect, guess whose fault it is? It's your own fault. And we have some people that are not perfect because they don't want to follow the will of God. They want to do what they want to do. They want to act the way they want to act. We must walk with God. We must walk with God. Is it going to cause something on our part? You best better believe it's going to cause something on our part. Brother Brian was praying and he mentioned about putting on that whole armor coming from the book of Ephesians chapter 6. We need to put it on when we wake up in the morning. When your parents, when you lay your children's clothes out, you know, for them to go to school the next morning, put a scripture on those clothes for them. Or if you're there helping them find their clothes in the morning, help them find a Bible verse that's going to get them through that day. Help them put the whole armor of God on because they need help. And each one of us need help. Put on, the Bible says in Ephesians chapter 6, starting with verse 10, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and the power of His might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day. And having done all to stand, stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Why must we do all these things, you ask? Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench, not some of them, not most of them, but all the fiery darts of the wicked." You may be able to extinguish them. You may be able to say, "Hey, I'm not going to do those things." And nothing you say, nothing you do on this day is going to make me change my mind. Because what? I am walking with the Lord. "And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. And watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints." We need to walk with the Lord. We need to make sure that if we're not, we need to ask ourselves a simple question. Why not? Go, if you would, to Ephesians chapter 4, verse 17. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 17. "For this I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord, that ye henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk in the vanity of their mind, having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them because of the blindness of their heart." Open up your hearts. Open up your minds to understand what God wants you and how He wants you to live, that you may find favor in His sight, that you may find grace in His sight, just as Noah did. "And being past feelings, have themselves over unto lasciviousness, to walk uncleanness with greediness. But ye have so not so learned Christ." See, that's the reason many people are not walking with the Lord. They haven't learned Christ. They don't understand how Jesus lived His life. They don't understand how Paul lived his life. They don't understand how other apostles lived their life, or other Christians that we find in the New Testament lived their lives. And they don't understand why and how you're living your life. We need to let them know it's not easy. But it's possible to be perfect. And you know, when we look at this word perfect here, we're not saying that you will not sin. We're just saying that you did not, you know, your mind wasn't on evil continually as those people's minds were. So we got some people, again, that's all they ever think about is doing something wrong. Who can I get next? That should not be your thought. Your thought should be, who can I pray for next? Who can I help next? What can I do to help myself in order to show that I'm walking with the Lord? In the book of Matthew chapter 28, the verses 20. See, we must do all that the Lord has commanded. When we teach our young people to become Christians, we don't just need to put them in the water and say, "Everything is all right now. You are now a Christian and go forth and let Satan take hold of you." No. It's not what the Word of God says. Jesus says in Matthew chapter 28, when we look at it in verse 19, where He says, "You go out and you teach," and you continue to read, and He said, "You baptize them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost, teaching them," in verse 20, "to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen. You know, brothers and sisters, we need to start walking with the Lord a little bit more than we're doing. Young people, we need to walk with the Lord every single day. We need to make sure that we tell our friends that we're walking with the Lord. I don't have time for you. If you want to walk with Him, come on, let's sit down and let's talk. And you show them in God's Word what they must do. You don't have a pocket Bible? Let us know. We can get you a pocket Bible. Don't get in trouble in class now. You're supposed to be doing your algebra homework or your algebra classwork. Do that work. You're supposed to be writing that composition in English. Write that composition. But when you have your free time, pull out that book and read that book and share that book with somebody, because somebody needs it very badly. This generation needed it just as other generations needed it. In the generations to come, they will need it as well. The Word of God will always be. It will never change. And so what you're teaching today from His Word, you'll be able to teach that next week. You'll be able to teach that next month, next year. You'll be able to teach that same Word, because the Word never changes. We need to prepare ourselves. We need to continue to study the Word as God has told us to study it. We need to show ourselves approved unto Him. And then when we hear something and we don't quite understand it, we need to go back and search it to make sure that that Word is true. Maybe you're here today and you have not found grace in the eyes of the Lord. And you know that it's your fault, and you know what you need to do. Do not hesitate. Maybe you're not a Christian and you're ready to become one. That opportunity is yours to come right now to make that confession that you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God and have your sins washed away. Maybe you're here and you're straight away and you're ready to come back to the fold. The opportunity is yours as well to come. Do not delay. As we stand and sing the invitation hymn.